Welcome to the APA Podcast, where we help one another follow Jesus at home, in our city, and around the world.
Well, good morning, and like Pastor Dave said, welcome to the last Sunday before 2025 comes to an end. And can I say the cheesy line that you made it? You made it? Good job. Give you a round of applause to yourself. That's great. Okay, before I start, this person doesn't know that I'm about to do this. So everyone brace yourself, just kidding. But I just wanted to say a huge thank you to our lead pastor, Pastor Dave, and I wanted to honor him for how he has carried our church for the past year. Just wanted to say thank you, Dave. You have pastored and cared so deeply for our church, and I just wanted to publicly say thank you for who you are. Amazing. Okay, so like I said, God has been faithful to us. His goodness and mercy has followed us all the days of 2025. But maybe this morning you're coming in feeling a little bit tired or a little bit extra full from the turkey dinners that you've had this week. Or maybe you're feeling excited and hopeful for what is to come in 2026, but also carrying some disappointment from what didn't happen in 2025. But I want you to know this morning, with everything in me, I have faith and hope and encouragement that when you walk out these doors this morning, that the Lord is going to bless you and encourage you and lift your spirits, that you can enter into 2026 with a heart of hope and joy. So in these last few weeks, Pastor Dave and Pastor Chad have talked in a series about hope in the lack, hope in the chaos, hope in the wilderness, and hope in the darkness. And today I'm going to jump off of what Pastor Dave also talked about on Christmas Eve, that there is hope in his promise. Amen? Amen. Awesome. And we are all a part of this story that of God fulfilling his promises. And so I want to start off by asking a simple question. And the question is, what story do you want to tell in your waiting season? I've been thinking about this question a lot because I've noticed something, that most of the times at the end of the day or at the end of event, things end up working out. Not always the way that we've planned, not always in our timeline, but somehow things end up getting done. So if we think about it, there's an event that we have to go to, say a dinner party. Let's paint the picture of a dinner party. Are you ready? You have to get the groceries and prepare the meal and prep it all before the family comes. You have to clean the entirety of the house, and of course you have to run and go get a car wash as well. And then you need to get the kids to their sports practice because they have a sports practice on a random Friday that you never have sports practices on, and all has to get done by 4:30. In those moments, we feel overwhelmed and stressed, and then we're feeling consumed by all the things that just need to happen. Later that night, when you put your head on the pillow, you think back and you're like, oh, it all did get done. But meanwhile, in that waiting of what is coming and the event that is supposed to come, we're hopeful that it all works out, but sometimes our attitude can turn negative. I have the story of a friend, and she had her birthday coming, and she was so excited about her birthday, like most of us are. We're excited to celebrate with the people that we love, and she was hopeful that her husband would plan some sort of surprise, like a birthday for her, like, I don't know, just planning something, maybe a dinner, whatever it is. As the day passed by, nothing was happening. So the frustration arose, maybe a little bit of annoyance. Yes, her friends were calling her, but she was hopeful that there would be some sort of celebration. So then her husband finally asks her, let's go for dinner. She's like, amazing, let's go for dinner. And then as they're driving to dinner, he's like, okay, wait, can we just pull over at my friend's house? And she was like, what? My friend? Your friend's house? Like, what about me? It's my birthday. So the frustration arose, but as they pulled in, got to the location, got out of the car, as they walked in, her friends yelled, surprise. In that moment, she was shocked that she interpreted his silence for forgetfulness. She thought just because he wasn't constantly communicating anything that he had forgotten about her. Sometimes you and I can feel that way with God. We start getting mad, we start ignoring him, and we feel frustrated by the longing and the promises that he has given us, but they have not come to pass yet. And so my question continues, is what story will you tell in 2026 when it comes to your waiting season? Before the relationship, before the career, the job, what will you be saying during this waiting season? How will you share this story with the people around you, the community that are watching, and also the people to come? How are you going to tell the story of your waiting season? There are two people in the Bible that understand this perspective of waiting. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the story of Abraham and Sarah as they longed for a child that God promised them. Abraham and Sarah did desire a family. And yes, this desire was so great. But God didn't just give them a desire to have a child. He made a covenant with them that he would give them a child and descendants as numerous as stars in the sky. So God made a promise to Abraham and Sarah. I want to pause here because I think that this really matters. We have longings and desires as we trust God. We need to begin to align our desires with his promises. Sometimes the Lord will even change our heart to begin to desire the very promise for our life, what he's placed in our life. We have to align that with a surrendering heart that requires us saying, Lord, not my will, but yours. And so we're going to start in this passage looking at the promise. So if you have your notebooks or your Bibles, you can open up into Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verse 1 says, Then Abraham was 99 years old. The Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell down, and God said to him, As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be a father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come. I'm going to pause there. That is powerful. To be your God and the God of the descendants after you, the whole land of Canaan where you reside as a foreigner, I will give an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. So imagine Abraham sitting there 99 years old. Wow. That is a full life. He's experienced so many things and probably in this moment having a feeling of doubt. Yet God made it so clear that an unbreakable and an everlasting promise would happen, a promise that would last generations. He calls himself God Almighty here, and he says, I am the one that will fulfill this promise. This covenant isn't a suggestion or a hopeful wish, but it is God declaring that he will keep his commitment even in Abraham's imperfection. We're going to continue reading. Verses 15 to 16. God also said to Abraham, As for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations and kings of people will come from her. Notice that God includes Sarah. She's 90 years old and beyond the years of childbearing age, yet he still promises her a son, a blessing, and to be a mother of many nations. The certainty of God's word here is striking and bold, and he says, I will surely give you a son. Even in the impossible, God's promise remains firm. Genesis 17:17 says, Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man at 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Here, Abraham has a very human reaction. He laughs, not out of joy, but out of disbelief. This may feel relatable to you and I when you may feel there's a promise from God, but it seems so far out of reach. Sometimes God promises to us feel impossible and seem impossible that we can't help but question, is this real? But notice that even in Abraham's doubts, God's promise didn't change. Faith isn't the absence of questioning. It's trusting God when there seems to be no way. God is full of grace in this story. That even Abraham struggled to believe this covenant, God reveals who he is. He reveals his character. He reveals his faithfulness. And we see the gift of grace in this covenant. There's this quote that I love by this pastor in the States, and she says that grace isn't fixing what you've broken. It's giving what you could never earn, and grace is not God reacting to your failure, but it's initiating your future. See, grace is not what we deserve. Abraham and Sarah were definitely not deserving of this grace, and this promise wasn't earned. God didn't make this promise just because Abraham and Sarah were perfect, because actually they were far from perfect. But he made it because he is good. I want us to feel the weight of this because we often think it's about us, but truly it's about how good God is. And the promises that he gives us is for a blessing, but also for our formation and for us to know the heart of who he is. It transforms us in the process to look more like the promise keeper. One of my favorite pictures of what a covenant is an engagement ring. An engagement ring is a promise, and the wedding day is the fulfillment. Throughout the Bible, we see God placing a ring as a covenant after covenant, pointing towards something greater. And I don't want to spoil it yet, but something greater is coming. Abraham received the promise. Israel then carried the promise. And years later, Jesus was the wedding day. The Last Supper, as we just took communion, Jesus held up the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant." The cross then completed it. And we have the wedding day. God didn't walk away halfway through the story. He didn't leave his people engaged forever. He followed through his promises. God isn't saying, "I won't change my mind." And I want someone to hear that today. He won't change his mind. He won't back down on his word. And he won't break the promise that he made to you. Psalms 89:34 says, "God does not violate his covenant. He does not alter his word. He always finishes what he starts." But for Abraham and Sarah, hearing this promise, I wonder if they actually believed it or if they had doubt that this would actually come to completion. Which leads me to this tension that many of us might feel but never actually say out loud. And I have wrestled with this question for a very long time. But I'm going to say it out loud to you. Are you ready? Can I miss God's promise for my life in times of disobedience? Will God still be faithful to his promise if I disobey or if I didn't fully trust him? What happens if I've messed up in the waiting? You see, I think Sarah definitely wrestled with this question as we look to see that God is faithful in the doubt and fear. But this question probably was definitely inside. See, she hadn't seen that promise yet. And over time, doubt crept in. You know, like I said, they weren't perfect and they made mistakes. They lied and they took things into their own hands. Sarah and Abraham tried to make this promise come true on their own. Sarah told Abraham, "Go and sleep with your servant Hagar." Then Abraham complied and they tried to fill this promise on their own strength. And yes, human effort can produce results. And human effort can't replace God's promise, though. So then Ishmael was born. At first, we see that it looks like it's the solution, the promised child, and the long-awaited fulfilling. But what followed was not what God intended. See, Ishmael's life was marked with tension, conflict. Hagar, Sarah's maid, experienced mistreatment and fear. And Abraham's household was then divided. Complications and pain entered, and they just wanted the blessing that they waited for. But Ishmael became the father of a great nation, and yet this was not the covenant that God had promised. God's original plan was specific. The covenant, the blessing, and ultimately Isaac would be, or Jesus would come from the line of Isaac, not Ishmael. But here's the truth. Their mistakes did not cancel God's promise. I imagine Sarah was sitting there with this grief and shame of what are the things that she had done, feeling like she had messed up too far. And at this point, she's even 90 years old, thinking, okay, there's no way God is going to come through. Thinking, will this ever happen? My mistakes are many. Will this promise come? 90 years of waiting, of carrying this disappointment, this fear, and yet unmet hope. Maybe there's many of us in this room that have also been feeling that. I've messed up too many times that I won't see the fulfillment of God's promise. But I know he has, or I know he will. Maybe this year, 2025, did not look the way that you wanted, or even in the past years, it did not look like you wanted. Maybe in January, you experienced a month full of doubt. February, you felt alone. March, heartbroken. May, tired and worn out of resources. June, you might have felt defeated with your unmet goals. July, burnt out. August, ashamed. September, heavy burden. October, angry and sad. November, feeling not enough. And then lastly, December, worn thin. See, Sarah was staying hidden in this tent and hidden under these great emotions, feeling the weight of the world. And my question for us is, how do we check our hearts before we enter into 2026? Are we hiding under those emotions? Are we choosing to stay hidden in the unmet hope and the disappointment? Are we preparing well? Are we staying in that tent of doubt? Are we letting fear control us? Genesis 18, verse 12 says, Sarah was worn out. Worn out from caring, worn out from serving, worn out from nurturing. And I wonder if she was worn out from even praying, from trusting God and believing that he would unveil this promise. This waiting felt long. The shame that she carried from this disobedience, maybe she felt like that promise wouldn't come. But I'm here to tell you that God was faithful to his word. And also, we see this again and again and again in Scripture, that I want to remind you that you are not alone. And as we've said before, God was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So let's reflect to see how God is faithful yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Many people in the Bible doubted his faithfulness, yet he remained faithful. Moses said, I am not the right person. Moses doubted God and how he could use him from his past and with his speech. He questioned God repeatedly. Who am I? Why? What if they don't follow me? God still chose Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt. God was faithful, and he isn't limited to our insecurities. Hannah said, I'm forgotten. Hannah waited years for a child, and she was facing this deep grief and shame, and she poured her heart out unto God and felt misunderstood by her pain. God answered her prayer with Samuel. He was faithful in the quiet and tear-felt prayers. Elijah said, I am done. After a huge victory, Elijah believed he was alone and that God was finished with him. He wanted to give up and die. God met him with rest and food and a gentle whisper, reminding him, you are not alone. Jonah said, I don't want to follow your plans. Jonah ran and didn't believe that Nineveh deserved mercy. He doubted God's goodness and justice. God saved Nineveh and patiently pursued Jonah. God is faithful when our hearts resist his mercy. The disciples in the storm said, God, don't you care about me? The disciples believed they were about to die, even though Jesus was on the boat. They questioned, do you care for us? Lord, will you be here? Are you here? He was there. He calmed the storm in a moment. God is faithful, even when fear is loud. And Job said, why is this happening? Job questioned God deeply in his suffering. He wrestled with doubt, grief and confusion, and God remained faithful and restored Job. God's faithfulness doesn't disappear in our suffering, even when we feel like all of the answers do. See, faith isn't a one-time decision of us just believing when it feels easy or when the promise feels close. See, faith is tested and refined in the waiting. It's strengthened in our struggles, and it is proven during our endurance. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." Notice this word, earnestly seek him. It's not passive, it's active, and it's persistent. It continues to trust God and pursue him even when we feel like the outcome is not, we can't see the outcome. We need to embrace what faith is. What endurance is what faith is. We need to continue to pray even when the answer feels delayed. We need to continue to serve even when our efforts don't feel notice. We continue to hope when circumstances are screaming at us saying no. See, God is faithful in the delay. He's faithful in the wilderness. He's faithful in the darkness. He is faithful in our weakness. And he is faithful even when people will laugh, fear, question, and run from him. Now, don't worry. There is hope. And it doesn't end here. Our third point is that joy is here. At the end of the story of Abraham and Sarah, Genesis 21, verse 1, let's read. It says, "The Lord kept his word to Sarah, exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened just at the right time." God will come through for you just at the right time. God, just as God said it would, and Abraham named his son Isaac. 8 days after Isaac was born, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah declared, God has brought me laughter. All who hear about this will laugh with me. Who would have thought that Abraham and Sarah would nurse a baby, yet have given Abraham a son in his old age? God is so good that he remembered Abraham and Sarah in their waiting. They felt when all hope was lost, that nothing would come through, God remembered them. And I want to prophesy over you that in 2026, that God remembers you. I believe that things that you feel that were dead will come alive. The doubt that you have carried will be removed with joy. I believe that the darkness that you feel like you are facing will turn into light, that Jehovah Jireh will sustain you with joy. I believe and pray for a supernatural awakening of faith in your life for your unmet promise. I believe that the Lord Adonai will meet you in 2026, that Lord Rapha, the healer, will bring you life. He will sustain you. He hears your cry. The name that has power, the name that has authority, the name above any other name. I pray and prophesy over your life that this year you will have joy and hope of abundance, that you will walk into the promise of his freedom, you will run into the fullness of his hope, that you will be confident in the promise of his joy, and that you will stand up remembering the promise of his love over you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that you will meet his presence in 2026 like never before. Joy comes from trusting that God is faithful. You see, Sarah laughed in the moments of disbelief, and actually it turned into her laughing of her fulfillment of the promise. At first, she said, "No way this could ever happen," but the promise was fulfilled, and she named her son Isaac, which meant laughter. This laughter filled her soul. The timing wasn't in what she expected, but the joy that came was real and it was true. See, God's faithfulness runs deeper than the doubt of the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life. See, joy does not mean there's an absence of this longing that we desire. Joy is anchoring our hearts to who God is. Waiting doesn't mean that God is absent. God is with you. He is beside you. He is for you. He is walking alongside you. Joy in the waiting often looks like a quiet, persistent faithfulness, praying again and again through the tears and choosing to let God have control and say, I will trust you, Lord. Psalms 30, verse 5 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy will come in the morning, and joy will come in your year in 2026. I believe and pray that with increasing amount of faith, saying that joy will come in your life. We need to seek Jesus before we reach that promise. We need to seek him during the preparation of receiving that promise. And we need to worship him with a joyful heart, because there is something about a joyful heart and a heart of thanksgiving that moves the heart of God. Would you enter into this year with a joyful heart and a thankful heart of what God has done and brought you through in 2025, and how he will remain consistent and faithful in your life in 2026? At the moments, sometimes we feel like we might not get to look exactly like that promise, or that promise isn't there in this exact moment. But along the way, we begin to look like the promise keeper. It's not about what we get, but it's about who we become. Sarah's joy wasn't erased in the waiting, but the joy fulfilled her at the end. So what is our response? We need to do what Abraham did. He stayed close to God. Abraham was called the friend of God. He reminds us of the intimacy matters above it all. When he sinned, he ran to God. When he was afraid, he ran to God. When he succeeded, he ran to God. And when God finally gave him this promise of the fulfillment of his son Isaac, for years that he had waited, God asked him to surrender it. Abraham was willing to lay it down, and Abraham was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, the son that he had waited for years. But something clicked in Abraham. It was never about the promise. It was never about what God could do for him. It was always about being with God. And on that same mountain, in this story, we see Abraham surrendering his son. And in that moment, God stepped in. God was able to ask so much because he was going to even give more. Later in the Bible, we see God himself would not hold back. He would send his one and only son, who would be crucified on that same mountain. There was a promise that Jesus was going to die and rise again. And many people doubted that that promise would come to fulfillment. But the promise came. He rose, the sacrifice was made, and the ultimate promise was fulfilled. And today we stand in the joy of that story. And so as we step into 2026, would we remember to keep waiting, keep hoping, keep trusting, because joy is coming. We are in the story of joy. And Isaiah 40, verse 31 promises us, but those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not get faint. He will renew your strength. Today and tomorrow, he will be giving you strength through his joy, through his hope. So will you wait on him? Will you wait on him with joy? Will you wait on him with faith? Will you wait on him with hope? Will you wait on him with trusting, not by sight, But with faith, will you trust him in the things that are to come? I believe that there are promises in this room that you have not seen yet. But I believe as we wait on him, we will see the goodness of the Lord. See, God is faithful to his word. He is faithful to your life, and he will never let you go. He is faithful to the promise that he has given in your life. So, what story will you tell in 2026? Can I encourage you to walk with him? Keep waiting. Keep hoping in him. Embrace the joy that he brings, because his promises are sure and his joy is true. So together, in a response, can we worship him? If you are waiting for a promise, if you have received a promise, can we respond in worshiping him together in this moment? Yes? Amazing. I'm going to pray.
Thank you for listening to the APA podcast. We hope it helps you better follow Jesus in your home, city, and around the world.